Blog Talk Radio.
Smoke News Radio Podcast. Welcome to Smoke News Radio 2020 with your host, Jason Brodsky.
Hello, thank you. You've tuned in to Smoke News Radio with your host, Jason Brodsky. First, we have from MexicoNewsDaily.com, as marijuana market disappears, criminals turn to alcohol, lodging, and extortion. Mexico remains the main international provider of marijuana for the United States, but this has greatly diminished since 2013, forcing certain criminal groups to adapt and look for other funds. As more United States move towards legalization, Mexican marijuana has largely been supplanted by domestic-produced marijuana, all according to the United States Drug Enforcement Administration's 2020 National Drug Threat Assessment. The report shows marijuana seizures among the southwest United States-Mexico border declined by more than 81% between 2013 and 2020, suggesting Mexican crime groups have significantly scaled down their marijuana trafficking operations. A high-ranking Sinaloa cartel operative in Sonora State told Inside Crime that the marijuana business is barely profitable now. Quoted, "I only traffic marijuana to pay some of my people in the organization. I'm paying them with kilograms of marijuana that they manage to smuggle and get paid for, but it's really coming to a point where it's no longer a viable business." The border state of Chihuahua is Mexico's second largest marijuana producer behind Sinaloa, accounting for 20% of production nationwide, according to a 2016 report by Autonomous University of Madrid. The researcher analyzing drug cultivation, and much of this comes from the Sierra Tarahumara, a vast network of canyons and mountains. Two of Mexico's main criminal organizations operate in the Sierra Tarahumara, the Sinaloa and the Juarez cartels through its armed wing known as La Linea. Over the past 10 years, fighting between these two groups has had a constant ebb and flow, but both of these criminal heavyweights are having to adjust to many United States decriminalization or legalizing of marijuana. To do so, they have monopolized other commercial activities like alcohol sales and logging, while also extorting the region's local farm workers to keep profits alive. Alcohol monopoly in Chihuahua started from La Junta Highway at the entrance to the Sierra Tarahumara. Only authorized stores can sell alcohol. Criminal organizations have threatened national change like OXXO to stop selling alcohol or risk facing retaliation, according to residents, business owners, and state officials speaking anonymously for fear of reprisal. For the most part, according to the cartel operative interviewed by Insight Crime, the alcohol monopoly is in the hands of the Sinaloa cartel, specifically Noriel Portillo, alias El Chueco. Quoted, only authorized stores can sell alcohol. That way, there is no competition, and all those earnings go to the organization. This started as a direct consequence of the depreciation of marijuana prices. According to the operative, municipalities under this rule stretch all the way from Bocoina, Guachichi, Batapias, Urique, and out to Guadalucalvo. He added that all alcohol distribution trucks are stopped at the highways connecting to the Sierra and asked to go back. We maintain our own distribution and businesses have to buy only from us, end quote. The cartel is buying massive quantities of alcohol in major cities like Cuauhtémoc or the capital Chihuahua, and then transporting those products by truck to several municipalities inside the Sierra Tarahumara. They are the ones granting authorization to sell and distribute all sorts of alcohol without any legal permits. The operative said they are not forcing everyone to sell alcohol, but those who want to must have permission from the cartel. Alcohol regulatory authorities have virtually no presence in the Sierra Tarahumara, according to the cartel operative. Most products go for 2 or 3 Mexican pesos, roughly 10 cents above the average retail price, which Insight Crime corroborated in several stores. And some restaurants aren't selling any alcohol out of fear of negotiating with crime groups. A woman from a local store in Guacochi quotes, we had to go with their deal. Otherwise, we would have to stop selling and close our business. The timber trade thrives as marijuana falls in San Juanito, a small wooded town at the beginning of the Sierra Tarahumara and the epicenter of fighting between the Sinaloa and Juarez cartels, used to be known as the San Juanito Forest for its beautiful, thick tree cover. But after years of relentless logging, both legal and illegal, locals now joke and call it the San Juanito Valley. Driving through it, the devastation is no highway, are barren with nothing but wood stumps. Thank you. You're listening to Smoke News Radio. The heavy cartel presence, it speaks of the wood taken into the sawmills is legitimate or tainted by organized crime. either illegally produced by such groups or by legal sawmills forced to pay a tax in order to operate. All right, and also extorting local farm workers. During the summer months, hundreds of men leave the cover of the Sierra Tarahumara to travel northbound to major cities like Cuauhtemoc and Chihuahua to work on apple, tomato, chili, pecan, and bean farms. Big companies have established massive operations around these two cities and hire their workforce from all over the state. But more recently, men leaving the Sierra to work have been required to notify cartel operatives in charge of monitoring who leaves and where they go. The local indigenous farmer returning from an apple tree farm who spoke with Insight Crime under the condition of anonymity for fear of retaliation, said the group now demanding a percentage of their earnings on their way back home. Thank you. You're listening to Smoke News Radio with your host, Jason Brodsky. We have from Ganjapreneur, talking about Idaho advocates collecting signatures for medical cannabis initiative. Kind Idaho collecting signatures, quoted, passed the act would legalize the possession of up to 4 ounces of cannabis for patients who could grow 6 plants home upon acquiring a hardship waiver. Additionally, would set up a network of dispensaries across the rural state. In addition to Kind Idaho's efforts to pass medical cannabis, another organization, the Idaho Way, is working to pass a measure that would decriminalize up to 3 ounces of cannabis for adults in a private setting. Similar to Kind Idaho, they must collect roughly 65,000 signatures to appear on next year's ballot. Next on Smoke News Radio with your host, Jason Brodsky, we've got from the MJBizDaily.com, California lawmakers pass hemp regulatory bill that divides marijuana sector on its way to Governor Gavin Newsom for his signature. The measure, Assembly Bill 45, easily passed with both the state and assembly this week. This bill would allow hemp extracts, including CBs. It would establish new rules for hemp farmers and businesses akin to the regulatory framework for marijuana companies, such as lab testing standards. It would hold out-of-state hemp products imported into California to the new standards. It would ban the sale of THC Delta 8, permit the sale of smokable hemp, but only once lawmakers agree on a new tax for inhalable products. All right. According to state legislature analysis issued Wednesday, supporters of the measure include the United States Hemp Roundtable, California Cannabis Industry Association, the California Hemp Council, the Cannabis Beverage Association, and a few major companies such as Canadian producer Canopy Growth. There were vocal opponents included the California Hemp Association, Cannabis Distribution Association, and a number of regional marijuana cultivation trade groups such as Origins Council. Next on Smoke News Radio with your host Jason Brodsky from HempToday.net, opponents of California law say they were tricked on smokable hemp. The state assembly law, AB 45, on Thursday, after the Senate had signed off it early this week, passes off to Governor Gavin Newsom. Rick Fox, co-chair of the National Industrial Hemp Council's Government Relations Committee, wrote in an analysis of the law, "It's a trick they pulled on us." Chris, isn't that what I... Oh, I got a few quotes. I'm sorry. That was Chris Boucher, CEO of Fartiva, Hemp AG Services Company and CBD consultant, who also serves as board member and treasurer of California Hemp Farmers Guild. Boucher said wording regarding inhalables in the bill's final draft means those products won't be available until the state establishes a tax levy that amounts to an indefinite ban on smokable hemp. And then, opponents had been led to believe that Newsom had dropped his support for a ban on smokable hemp flowers in the state. The remainder of the bill creates a confusing new bureaucracy, adding burdensome regulations and compelling California state agencies to inspect and certify out-of-state hemp facilities selling into California, quoted the Hemp Farmers Guild, one of several opponents. The guild added AB 45 doesn't just inhibit California hemp farmers in the middle of this season's grow from selling their crop, but will also shut down thousands of California's CBD wellness companies by criminalizing their products. Those against AB 45, which puts hemp under the state's Bureau of Cannabis Control, have long argued that the law is the result of lobbying by marijuana interests that are disadvantaged industrial hemp. The guild quotes, "These groups have aggressively pushed AB 45, a harmful and anti-farmer bill masquerading under the guise of consumer safety that will harsh definitely affect and mid-sized service and CBD companies at all levels who have already spent millions establishing themselves in California. It's devastating. The California hemp industry, big time, big marijuana, will now grow and sell hemp CBD, CBDV, and THCV thus removing almost all hemp farmers from commerce. In addition to the Hemp Farmers Guild, opponents to the measure included the National Hemp Association, the California Hemp Association, the California Hemp Coalition, the National Industrial Hemp Council, and Stop AB45.com, a grassroots online initiative. Organizations supporting AB45 include the United the Hemp Industries Association. In a form letter, Hemp urged Washington, D.C.-based advocacy group said the regulatory structure creates significant consumer protections related to hemping. The Act, that's California's, and cosmetic safety law, and current good manufacturing of public health. Quoted, in addition to the CDP safety oversight, AB 45 requires the same testing for California hemp products as is required for California cannabis marijuana products, which are some of the most stringent in the nation, Vote Hemp has said. Thank you. This is Smoke News Radio with your host, Jason Brodsky. The Food Drug Administration was not mentioned at all in that and over everything that California does. So it's still illegal by the FDA. Doesn't matter what anybody, CBD is still illegal. Not smokable CBD. That's not illegal. Okay, next, from Smoke News Radio with your host, Jason Brodsky, we've got from the westerlysun.com, Stonington officials call on voters to determine fate of marijuana businesses in town. Use of recreational marijuana became legal for those over 21 in Connecticut on July 1st, but it will soon be up to residents to determine the fate of marijuana cultivation and sales in the community. Members of the Board of Selectmen on Wednesday approved for eligible voters whether to approve an ordinance seen and or forward the result of a petition determine whether to approve a tax abatement for developers seeking to build a residential complex. Okay. Here we go. As presented, specifically whether to prohibit cannabis industry development in Stonington. The question reads, shall the town of Stonington adopt an ordinance prohibiting the establishment of a cannabis establishment within town limits? Explained by, hold on, Danielle Choose Ready allows for cannabis sales. So from a legal perspective, we would only adopt an ordinance that would prohibit it. Explaining, it can be confusing, but we want people to be aware that a yes vote would prohibit sales and a no vote would allow for an establishment to exist. The question comes after state legislators passed regulations and guidelines earlier this year that approved legalizing possession became legal as of July 1st, but businesses have not yet been allowed to move forward in selling products. According to an article from the Associated Press, legislators indicated that it would be at least May of 2022 able to open to the general public. Residents without a medical marijuana card are restricted from growing any marijuana at home until 2023. Across the state, towns have sought to determine the impact that the establishment of marijuana would have. Some Connecticut towns have voted to continue to review aspects of the law, while other municipalities have taken action to prohibit cultivation or sales in their kit in allowing for sales. Cheeseboro notes that there are arguments both for and against the sale of marijuana in town, but noted that communities who are open to welcoming such businesses could receive considerable financial support as a result of the legal sales. Under the new law, cities and towns have discretion to either allow or prohibit cannabis-related businesses within their borders, including regulating in use of signs and hours of operation. The law specifically limits the number of shops or facilities by allowing one retailer and one grower for every. As a result, the town would only be eligible for one of each, and a second business could not open as long as the first remains in operation. If approved, state laws would allow the town this extra police and infrastructure, 3% local sales in any community, the popularity of such a shop, noting that with the geographical location, it could lead to a rise in crime, traffic congestion. And if allowed, any businesses would still need to go through the formal zoning process, which would allow town officials to monitor and regulate development plans in an effort to avoid any issue. Cheesebro goes on to quote, "This isn't something that would likely go downtown or in an area already impacted by traffic. Any businesses would be subject to go to the zoning board for approval. The referendum on October 5th would be held from 6 to 8 p.m. Firehouse and Main Street in Stonington. If you're in the area, check it out. Next on Smoke News Radio with your host, Jason Brodsky, we have from normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org, South Dakota lawmakers seek to repeal vote permitting home cultivation of medical cannabis. South Dakota marijuana ballot initiative's lawmakers are moving forward with efforts to remove provisions from the state's voter-approved medical cannabis law that permit qualified patients to home cultivate personal use quantities of cannabis. Nearly 70% of voters decided in favor of the ballot measure 26 last November. Republican Governor Kristi Noem campaigned against the measure in the month election. In February, House lawmakers voted to delay the law's implementation. However, that effort failed when the House and Senate lawmakers this month, lawmakers participating in a study committee recommended that legislators formally rescind language in the law that permits patients to grow up to 3 marijuana plants. A majority of House and Senate lawmakers would still need to approve those recommendations before they could take effect. Under the law, state recreation cards to qualified patients by May 15th, 2022. Voters are still awaiting the fate of a separate voter-initiated ballot measure, Amendment A, which sought to legalize the personal possession and retail sale of marijuana by adults. FIP decided on election day in favor of the measure. However, Governor Noem facilitated litigation seeking to strike down the law as unconstitutional. In February, Judge Christina Klinger of the state's 6th Judicial Circuit Court ruled in favor of the challenge, opining that the measure violates state requirements that ballot measures not encompass more than one topic. Justices on the state Supreme Court heard an appeal of the case in April, but have not yet to render a decision either upholding or striking down the lower court's ruling. Oh, man. All right. Just like when you think you got it. Oh, sorry, you put too much in that bill. You have to have one topic in a bill? Okay, fun stuff. Next, ladies and gentlemen, on Smoke News Radio, with your host, Jason Brodsky, from prohibitionpartners.com, medical cannabis access progresses in Ireland. The Irish Ministry of Health has announced a new medical cannabis access program. It's operational as of July 2021. In addition, patients obtaining medical cannabis under ministerial approval will now have their products directly reimbursed by the government. However, access to medical cannabis in Ireland still lags far behind other European countries. Ireland maintains one of the more restrictive systems for access to medical cannabis products compared to other high-income European countries. With the announcement of the new medical cannabis access program, Ireland now has three routes which together offer limited access to medical cannabis products, with less than 100 patients likely having access to such products at the time of writing. The three routes for accessing medical cannabis in Ireland are as follows. The ministerial approval, whereby a patient can, in theory, access any medical cannabis product for any condition with the written approval of the Minister of Health. Applications must be made by a patient's specialist physician or their doctor with endorsement from a specialist. Currently, 63 patients access medicines this way. Pharmaceutical cannabis medicines such as Sativex and Epidiolex have approval for a limited set of conditions, example, spasticity in MS and rare childhood epilepsies, and can be prescribed by any physician, unless you're in the UK, but that's another article. These approved products are not recommended for reimbursement by Ireland's Health Services Executive, and so remain difficult to access. The new ministerial, the MCAP, whatever they call that, the new medical cannabis access program, whereby a patient can be registered by a specialized physician to access a set of cannabis-based products for a limited number of conditions. The new system of legal access on Monday, 15th of July, the Minister of Health announced that doctors can now apply to register their patients for the MCAP. The program has been in preparation for a number of years. Since being proposed by the Health Products Regulatory Authority in Ireland in 2016, under the scheme, only doctors specialized in relevant fields will be able to register their patient for the purposes of obtaining medical cannabis products from a curated list of medicines. The patients will only be eligible for the MCAP if they have not responded to conventional treatments while suffering from spasticity associated with multiple sclerosis, intractable nausea, and vomiting associated with chemotherapy or severe treatment-resistant epilepsy. A restrictive set of medicines will be approved by the HPRA for this scheme. As of the time of writing, 4 products have been approved for use in the MCAP. The Aurora High CBD Oil Drops, Aurora Sediment Soft Gels, THC, the MGC Pharmaceutical Canepil CBD, the Tilray Oral Solution, THC-10, CBD-10. Reimbursement of the cost of these medicines is not guaranteed and will only be approved on a named patient basis and only for those patients obtaining via a medical card, the long-term illness scheme, or drug payment scheme. Some details around the pricing of medical cannabis dispensing fees with pharmacies are yet to be finalized. The Health Minister Stephen Donnelly, who announced the initiation of the program this month, once a product has been approved for the MCAP, operators wishing to distribute the medicine need to apply for a controlled drug annual license in addition to a controlled drug import license for each consignment of the medicine. As of March 2021, 3 wholesalers were approved and 12 licenses to import consignments were granted. During the pandemic, the Irish government has also made arrangements for these medicines to be delivered to Ireland instead of being collected by the patients, which had, until then, required considerable time and money on the part of patients and caregivers. These positive changes have been brought about by the sustained efforts of campaigners such as Vera Toomey, who has fought an enduring battle to gain access to cannabis medicines for her daughter Ava, who experienced Dravet syndrome, a rare form of epilepsy. Ireland lagging behind other European countries. For now, medical cannabis access in Ireland remains restrictive compared to countries like Germany, which grants access to an estimated 128,000 patients on an ongoing basis, or Denmark, which has a comparable population size to Ireland, but provides access to over 1,600 patients each month. Although patient access to medical cannabis products in Ireland now appears to be improving, this positive shift is preceded by a more broad-scale access in other countries across Europe. Recent surveys have shown overwhelming support for the Irish public for the legalization of medical cannabis. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, we're listening to Smoke News Radio with your host, Jason Brodsky. And next, we have from buzz.ie, Italy moves to decriminalize recreational cannabis. Italian government approves bill to decriminalize home cultivation of cannabis. Before profit, TD Gino Kenny is set to introduce the Cannabis Regulation and Control Bill 2021 later this year, which will be the first time in 8 years that legislation around ending the prohibition on cannabis will be before the dial. Italy could become one of the first European countries to decriminalize recreational cannabis after reform was approved by the lower house's Justice Committee this week. The reform would allow people to grow up to 4 cannabis plants in their homes for personal use. Mario Parentoni, president of the Chamber's Justice Committee, quotes, "The cultivation of hemp at home is essential for patients who have to make therapeutic use of it and who often do not find it available, as well as to combat the sale and consequent criminal undergrowth." However, the reform also increases penalties for crimes linked to trafficking and dealing of cannabis, with maximum sentences increasing from 6 to 10 years. The vote will still need to be ratified pending amendments before being finalized and enshrined in law. The reform decriminalizes the growth of up to 4 female cannabis plants at home, says MP Ricardo Maggi, who put the bill forward for consideration, said he hoped for a rapid approval by Parliament. Quotes, "It is a first step in the right direction, but now it is necessary that the majority who approve the basic text today undertake to do so to ensure it arrives in Parliament and avoid the text remaining stifled in committee among the many government measures coming up. If the reform is passed in Parliament, Italy will become one of the first countries in Europe to permit home cultivation of the cannabis plant. Some background: in 2019, Italy's Supreme Court ruled that small-scale domestic cultivation of cannabis is legal, putting an end to a years-long legal dispute. A 1990s law prohibits the cultivation and sale of marijuana in Italy, but conflicting court decisions and a 2016 amendment that opened a loophole in the law create confusion over how it should be interpreted. Called on to clarify previous conflicting interpretations of the law, the Court of Cassation decreed the crime of growing narcotic drugs should exclude small amounts grown domestically for exclusive use of the grower. Thank you, Smoke News Radio. Your host, Jason Brodsky. Love you guys very much. Tell everybody.
A billion people died on the news tonight, but not so many cried at the devil's sight. Well, mama said, it's just make-believe. You can't believe everything you see, so baby, close your eyes to the lullaby. decide that it would be alright to put the music behind the news tonight. Well, Mama said, you can't believe everything you hear. The diegetic world is so unclear, so baby, close your ears. On the news tonight, on the news tonight, the unobtrusive tones on the news tonight. And Mama said, why don't the newscasters cry when they read about people who die? At least they could be decent enough to put just a tear in their eyes. But Mama said, it's just make-believe. You can't believe everything you see. So baby, close your eyes to the lullaby.